With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We are heading into a football Friday. What's the game that's got you jazzed up? We've got an NFL poll live on both Twitter and Facebook. But we can also talk about college, and there's a big game that you're looking forward to. There's always matchups, really good matchups in the Big Ten this time of the year. So whatever floats your boat as we head into a football Friday, I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, Easy, named after the show. Or you can give us a call, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I am so excited. This sounds ridiculous. Maybe you're not going to get it, but I am so excited. More excited than I've ever been to see Dez Bryant play football. Now, I don't know how much he's going to be active, even a part of the game plan for the New Orleans Saints on Sunday at Cincinnati. I do know that's one of the games that we've given you in our poll for week 10. I don't know whether or not he'll be activated, whether or not he'll have any idea what to do in this offense. You want to talk about a tight turnaround? Eek! Even as he was meeting the media and getting to know the team, probably finding his locker, getting his uniform, everything else, all the equipment, that was happening on Thursday. I don't think he has to wear a name tag that says, "Hi, my name is Dez." However, there are probably other guys in the locker room that he doesn't know that need to get to know him as well. But I'm pretty excited to see him whenever he makes his Saints debut. As much as I was on board, and I am on board, with the Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper combination and how much better that can make the Dallas offense if they use him, if they can get him acclimated, I'm even more excited because Dez has been out of football, and I feel like this is a bit of a rebirth for him, considering how open and vulnerable he was in his birthday Instagram post about the humiliation of being on the sidelines, watching the NFL go on without him. To me, there's no way he doesn't understand that this is not his last chance. Well, it could be his last chance, but it could also be his best chance to change the narrative, to get a new free agent deal, and to win. And so I'll admit, I'm all about watching the Saints with Dez Bryant in that offense. Unabashedly. Not rooting, but just gawking. I mean, I don't know how it's impossible not to like Drew Brees and everything he brings to the table. And I've told you many times in the past that the NFL couldn't have a better ambassador. So remember we did a show a couple of weeks ago, Oddest Bedfellows in Sports? Oh yeah, let's put Drew Brees and Dez Bryant in that conversation. And yet, corporate synergy, the combination could be dynamite. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Dez was in New Orleans meeting the media for the first time, presumably meeting a lot of his coaches and his teammates for the first time. And to hear from him, to get to know how excited he is about being there in New Orleans, why can I not find... no wonder. Not on the old sheet. I know I listened to it, but I was like, where is Dez? Maybe your computer auto-corrected Dez to something else like my phone does. All right, so Dez was meeting reporters and was kind of giving the background, the backdrop on how he ended up with the Saints and why he feels like this is a really good fit.
Oh, man, I'm extremely excited. I get to play with that goat over there, you know, that baby goat, Mike Thomas, that baby goat, African Marin, the big goat, Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Lattimore, you know, just excited to play with these guys. One, you know, who wouldn't want to play, you know, with Drew Brees?
Amen.
Not taking away from nobody else, but you got a guy like Drew Brees. Like I said, you got a guy like Michael Thomas, Watson, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. Got those types of guys, you know, little baby goats, you know, around here.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Dez always does have a unique way to describe things, and his opinion is who wouldn't want to play with Drew Brees, which
little
I'm
baby goats, you know, around here.
I'm all about that. But that Drew Brees has a bunch of baby goats. Goats in the making. Who doesn't love baby animals? In fact, that's my number one reason for being on Twitter, is baby animal videos. And so I'm all about baby goats. Bring it.
Little baby goats, you know, around here.
I honestly have never heard that term before to describe younger, really good players. Or, you know, he could either mean, you know, goats in the making, or just younger guys who are really good at what they do. So funny.
Little baby,
baby goats. Anyway, good to hear from Dez Bryant. And as you can imagine, there are guys in that Saints locker room among the baby goats who couldn't be more excited to now play on the same team as Dez.
Yeah, definitely. When I was growing up and playing a receiver position, like you have to watch Dez if you want to be like that guy. He's done tremendous his career in the NFL, so just to be able to have him here, like in your corner, and be on the same team with him is just it's great and very, it has its benefits.
Do you recognize that voice? He's known as Can't Guard Mike on Twitter. Michael Thomas, the guy that you chose as your Monday MVP after his 200-plus receiving yard game. And you also chose his touchdown, the long bomb from Drew Brees against the Rams, as your TD of the week. He is all that and a baby goat right now. And yet he's geeked up about Dez Bryant too, because Dez has been an idol to him. And so welcome to New Orleans, Dez Bryant. Now, he did practice on Thursday and he said it was good. But Sean Payton decides whether or not he plays on Sunday. And I quote, "Whatever he has for me, I'm getting myself ready for it." And I know a lot of you are not yet buying in. A lot of you are reserving judgment, or you're jumping to conclusions and indicating that you don't think it's going to work out because it's only a matter of time until Dez blows up. But I disagree with you. I could be flat out wrong. Some tigers don't change their stripes. I was going to say their spots. Some leopards don't change their stripes, and some tigers don't change their spots. But I feel like the last few months had to be a harsh look at reality for Dez Bryant. I said this yesterday, and I'll say that again. No athlete wants to be forced out by an injury or by a decision made because of business. No athlete wants to be forced out. Every athlete, heck, everybody who does anything in a performance industry wants to go out on their own terms. He didn't want this to be the end. And yet, there he was for a couple of months, wanting to play football, thinking about playing football. That's what he said on a Thursday. A lot of ups and downs. He did say he turned down other opportunities, though he didn't elaborate on those. And we know the reports were that he turned down an offer from the Ravens during the offseason. This couldn't be a better situation. It's not a lot of money. There's built-in incentives. I mean, it's a lot of money to me and maybe to you too. But in terms of a high-profile wide receiver, it's not a ton of money. We're not even talking about $2 million. But he's willing to work to earn another contract, to earn the opportunity to prove that his days in the NFL are not done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, it seems like a really easy transition as we think about another player who may or may not be joining the team that owns his rights. So not a free agent situation like Dez, but he would like to be a free agent. I would be thrilled to see Le'Veon Bell back on the field too, but we don't know when he's going to report, if he's going to report. If you missed my conversation with Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette after Thursday night's game at Heinz Field, I would encourage you to listen to it. Yeah, we talked a little bit about the Steelers' performance and how they did it on a short week against the Panthers, but a lot of our conversation was about Le'Veon Bell. If he reports, what do we know? He says the Steelers have not heard from him still. And he also gave an interesting perspective on Art Rooney's comments that the team expects Bell to report. He put that in perspective. But also, what happens if he does come back? What, you just boot James Conner to the curb and all of a sudden Le'Veon Bell is your bell cow again? I don't think it works that way. And I continue to hear people from inside the football industry. So this is not me, who's never played in the NFL. This is not a sports writer criticizing Le'Veon Bell's decision. How about a Hall of Fame quarterback in Warren Moon breaking down this choice by Le'Veon Bell to stay away?
I just don't understand his game plan, because every week he loses close to $900,000 that he doesn't play, and he'll never get that money back. I don't care how big a deal he gets next year with guaranteed money. He still, at some point, I think he's lost about $10 million or close to it if he misses this week. I don't think he's going to get that much money in guaranteed money over what he would have gotten if he would have played this year. So I think that's money that's lost for him. I know he's looking at the fact that he doesn't want the wear and tear on his body, but you know, he could go out there and get hurt the first game he comes back here, if he comes back next week, which he probably needs to do in order to qualify for a year. So you just never know when an injury might come. But I just don't understand that game plan of losing this type of money. And with Connor playing the way he's playing, I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers even want him back in their lineup, just because of the distraction and the baggage that it's going to bring to their football team.
That's Warren Moon, a Hall of Fame quarterback, who doesn't understand why Le'Veon Bell would forfeit this kind of money. Now, again, it's all relative. If you're a billionaire, this isn't a whole lot of money. But he's lost $8.5 million already. Why report at all? Well, you would lose the entire season, which has to do with tenure and then your free agency. But the deadline is Tuesday, and not only has he waited until the last possible second, if he does report, and given up a whole bunch of money, and as Warren Moon is saying, I don't think he ever gets that money back, which is, I mean, that's accurate, right? You can't go back and make up for a year's worth of earnings. No matter what you earn in your next contract, you're a year older as a running back, even if you have spared yourself pounding. You can't ever go back and make up that year. Even Adrian Peterson had to wait for a phone call and an audition and a workout this year. And while he looks great, not everybody's a physical specimen like he is in his 30s. The time, the hourglass, it moves so much faster with running backs. And I can't believe he was willing to forfeit a full year off of his career. Or almost a year, depending on what happens next week. And I agree with Warren, you'll never get that money back. It blows my mind. Now, I'm not Le'Veon, and he's got his own reasons, and he's a grown man, and he's clearly decided this is what's best for him. But I also appreciate that Warren Moon is asking, what does this do to the locker room when he comes back? And I think the interesting question, too, is for all those people who have so proud of James Conner, like Ben Roethlisberger, how does this dynamic work? When Bell returns, if he's ready to go, what do you do with James Conner? Is Bell going to be happy if he's only getting half the touches or a third of the touches? I mean, is that what he wanted? Because then you're not the bell cow anymore. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think the Steelers should do when Bell returns? And then Facebook and Twitter, you can weigh in with the game you're most looking forward to this week in the NFL. We'll take your calls too. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Little baby goats, you know, around here.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's a Mike Tomlin remix. You know you'd like. You know you'd like. You know you'd like to think you're that good. You know you'd like, but you're probably not. Ian Eagle with the calls of the Steelers swinging for the fences against the Carolina Panthers. 52 points, tied for the most ever allowed by the Panthers in their franchise history. And boy, is that a smooth way to sail into a couple extra days off. Now, five consecutive wins for the Steelers, and they look like the Steelers that people expected when they broke camp. You see my air quotations. Man, that feels like a long time ago. But now it's 6-2-1. Remember the season opening game that felt like a loss to them because they had the double figure lead against the Browns in Cleveland, only to watch the Browns come back. I don't understand for the life of me how the Steelers, and ultimately it's Mike Tomlin's decision, but how they could even think about parting the waters and throwing everything into flux if and when Le'Veon Bell reports. I hadn't even considered the part about the distraction and all the extra attention. They're used to that. I mean, they've got some pretty high-profile players and coaches in that locker room. Antonio Brown, he's a guy that needs a full-time camera following him with his 100 miles per hour and his Facebook Live and, you know, the cleats, the touchdown celebrations. He's worth the price of admission, and there's always something to pay attention to when it comes to the Steelers. But yeah, think about the extra attention and the questions. They've already had to answer more questions than any team should about one man while they're waiting for Le'Veon Bell. But as well as things are going, now I'm not suggesting they're superstitious, but what do we know about athletes and coaches? When something's working, you don't go screwing with it. How long will it take Le'Veon to get ready? There's being in shape and there's being in football shape. Two entirely different things. So what should the Steelers do with Le'Veon when he returns? If and when he returns. I know I have to add that a caveat. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, some of you weighing in. And then also on our Facebook page. And while you're there, vote for the game you're most looking forward to this weekend, week 10 in the NFL. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can get it all packaged up at geico.com. Scott is listening in Virginia. Scott, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
As far as the Steelers, I can't remember how long ago it was that Keyshawn Johnson was with the Buccaneers and they just kind of, I guess, paid him to go away, so to speak. So maybe they let Le'Veon report. They just go ahead and pay him the remaining $4.5 or $5 million and just tell him to just pretty much go away. We don't want you.
I think if they were going to do that, they would have done it already. If they were going to say, go away, we don't want you, they would have done it. Why pay money that you don't have to pay if you can get rid of the guy? I don't think that's what they want. I think they'd be okay with coming to some kind of an agreement and keeping him in Pittsburgh. This was his prerogative. But I also believe, as we were told by Jerry Dulac, this is an organization that doesn't revolve around one guy ever. Not Ben Roethlisberger, not Antonio Brown. It doesn't revolve around one man ever. He even pointed out that they weren't going to sit around and cry over Franco Harris holding out, so they're not going to do it for Le'Veon Bell. And I think it couldn't have worked out better for them. I'll say that. Maybe at the beginning of the season, the prevailing sentiment was, oh no, the Steelers are going to miss him and it's going to be a major hole in their offense. Are you kidding me? This could not have worked out better.
Right. Yeah. I believe James Conner really surprised a lot of people this year.
Good for him. I mean, he deserves it. He actually has stared down death. And I think it was, Andrew Villanueva who said, my fault. I was trying to do that off the top of my head. Alejandro Villanueva, who said that he runs like he's faced death, which is, of course, the case, having beat non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and then coming back to play at Pitt and having a really great senior year. And, I mean, this is a guy who's just got a different perspective on life, but also he's eager to do anything that they want him to do. He's got the support of the quarterback and the O-line, and I just don't know how you bench that guy or put that guy in, you know, a second-string role or relegate him to mop-up duty, whatever might happen, just to welcome back Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, it's definitely – I mean, yeah, it's a problem, but it's almost a good problem to have because you have – James Conner, who's doing very well, and, you know, everybody knows what Le'Veon Bell is capable of.
Yeah, no, he is, but I feel like it's a little bit naive to think he's going to step on the field and do all that without any run-up.
He would probably need, I would say, at least 3 good weeks of a training camp-type deal just to get into football shape.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We're in week 10.
Right, so... You know, maybe just kind of condition him and get him ready for the playoff push, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a 2-week waiver. I mean, they can hold him out for another 2 weeks if they wanted to. It's the whole thing is bizarre. And the fact that it's gone on this long, I feel like he did not do himself any favors.
And real quick, if I may, the Jason Garrett Cowboy thing, I'm a Cowboy fan, and you see the similarities between, like, when George Steinbrenner bought the Yankees and how he kind of meddled in everything until he finally gave control over to Brian Cashman. And then, you know, they went on this somewhat historic run. And then, you know, the Cowboys are going to be the Cowboys as long as Jerry Jones is making those decisions. And when he had Jimmy Johnson in place, they, you know, 2 Super Bowls in 3 years. And then when he had Bill Parcells in place, they kind of got back to some respectability. And then, you know, their egos clashed. And he's kind of like the George Steinbrenner of the football world. So I think no matter who the coach is.
George Steinbrenner had a much longer track record of success. I understand what you're saying about the being super involved. But with Steinbrenner, it worked a lot.
Right. So, but thank you for your time and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Scott. You too. I do not think in any case, I don't care how bad it is, unless the coach has committed a crime or you've got players who are openly revolting and still, I'm not sure it's a great idea to give in to what the players want simply because they're throwing their weight around. That's a case by case basis, but I don't think it's a good idea in any situation to fire your coach midseason. Maybe with 2 games left in the year, if you know you're going to do it, it maybe gives you a jump on candidates and coaching searches. But a lot of times the coaching candidates that teams want are involved with other playoff teams. And so it's not necessarily an advantage to do that. But again, if it gets to be really bad, like the Rex Ryan situation in Buffalo, it got to be untenable. And they weren't going to do anything in those last couple of games. So then they went ahead and they fired him and they moved on so they could start to clean up the culture and just get a breath of fresh air. It wasn't about finding someone new. It was about getting Rex Ryan out of there. But if you're a team like the Cowboys are, and they are still part of the NFC East race, they're only 2 games back of the Redskins, who don't look that good at the top of the division. You are still part of the conversation. You don't just throw in the towel now and change your coach. That will not get you to the postseason. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Producer Chris just put up a bonus show poll. Should James Conner keep his starting job if Le'Veon Bell returns this season? I'm only giving you two options. Yes, he's earned it. No, Bell is the better running back. So I'll retweet, but it's on our show Twitter as well, After Hours CBS.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here's another question, and I'm being dead serious about this. I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. If the Steelers were to platoon their running backs, and I do believe that James Conner has earned the right to be their number one guy. However, if that's not what they choose, if they decide, you know what, we'll give each guy less pounding, we'll split the reps, we'll split the snaps, we'll, you know, use them both equally or, you know, somewhere close to it. Is Le'Veon Bell then worth quarterback money? If he's not even the feature back, if he's not even the bell cow, if the Steelers found another guy that they can use in the same way to get the same production, why is he worth quarterback money? If you got another guy who can do what he's doing, why would you pay him $25 million a year? I'm telling you what, the more I think about the holdout, the more I hear different insiders, and I mean members of the football fraternity, talk about this holdout, the more I think it couldn't have worked out better for the Steelers, and he did himself no favors. Maybe one favor. He saved himself a little pounding. But you know what? They might just not need him to be the feature back anymore. Is he even going to be happy with that? I don't know that this helped his earnings power in the future. And I'm not sure he was going to get the money he wanted anyway. But this may have actually taken the shine off that idea that he is a guy that is unique to the NFL, that his production can't be replicated. I'm not saying he isn't good. Do not misunderstand me. He's versatile. He's fast. He's explosive. He's creative with the football. He's a powerhouse, and he's a superstar, and he'll change any offense. But if you got a guy who's doing what James Conner is doing, then why would you ever pay Le'Veon Bell quarterback money, which you really can't afford as a franchise when you have to pay your quarterback money? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll get to some of your tweets here coming up. A-Law Radio, we've got two polls up now, both the Week 10 NFL poll, which is extremely close. Producer Chris says he's never seen one this close before, which is fun. Usually we have two or three games that people fight over, but this one's got all four. And I told you, it's kind of a wide open Week 10. But we've also got a James Conner poll up as well, and I'd love to hear and see your responses. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. Ryan is in Knoxville. Welcome to After Hours.
So I'm a Bengals fan, so that might give you an idea how I feel about the Steelers. I've wished for Comets to land in Pittsburgh on several occasions. But
wishing harder, yeah, might actually make it so, Ryan. You never know.
But Pittsburgh has got the best, as far as the running back position goes, they have the best problem they,
yes,
could ever possibly have
they
right
do.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so aggravating. I mean, look at now, after last night with James Conner going under concussion protocol, they've got every excuse in the world to let Le'Veon come back and throw him to the wolves and say, let's see if you can do it. And their excuse is, well, Conner's under a concussion protocol. You know, we have to give him a game off, whatever. If Le'Veon shows what he can do, now they have two elite backs, and you're looking at another combo like Ingram and Kamara every Sunday.
Well, that's if Bell stays, if he wants to stay, because I'm telling you what, they're not going to pay him quarterback money if he's splitting time. If he's a platoon, part of a platoon, they're not going to pay him to be the feature back.
And that's how incredibly good their problem is. They don't even have to consider paying it to him. They can say, look, we don't need you. You're not getting the money. Take what we'll offer or find you a new home. They don't need him. If he says, okay, I'll take the money, now they're sitting with two running backs that both potentially you could build an offense around. They can run them as a tandem. They could put up – I mean, they gave nickels for Conner. they could put him up on the trading block and probably get a first-round draft pick out of him.
Ooh, it's, that would be an unpopular decision. How much you want to bet?
Well, oh yeah, Pittsburgh would be furious, and Cincinnati could use him.
What, do you not like Joe Mixon?
I love Joe Mixon, but I would love to have a Kamara Ingram combo too.
Well, you'd have to pay him though. I feel like if any other team outside of Pittsburgh is probably going to have to pay more to get away from there. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is hurting Bell in pretty much every way. But I agree with your perspective about the Steelers. It's actually making the Steelers, well, it's helping the Steelers and giving them absolutely the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and I'm so aggravated because now we got to figure out how to beat them for another 3 or 4 years. All right, I appreciate you taking my call.
I love that you have a sense of humor about it. Ryan, thank you so much for calling in Knoxville. 855-212-4227. I've never heard anyone laugh that much about their team being absolutely, I'm trying to think of a good SAT word, absolutely inept when it comes to facing one of their chief rivals in the AFC North. We gave you the numbers not that long ago, how lopsided it's been since Marvin Lewis took over the Bengals and Ben Roethlisberger joined the Steelers. Let's talk to Charlie, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to your show all the time.
Cool.
I'm from Pittsburgh, and we've been dealing with this Le'Veon Bell situation, obviously, all season, preseason. I think what you were coming off with last was right on point. And I just want to say this. James Conner, at this point, is Le'Veon Bell's worst nightmare. I think pretty much dropped his value free agency. And I think what you were saying before, nothing against Le'Veon Bell. He is great, but we look like we replaced him with the guy who was drafted in the third round in 2016, who, by the way, is also a local cowboy, and Berg loves hometown boys. Just ask for the badge. But I think Le'Veon Bell would be smart to just sit out the year, stay healthy, and then play. And I really mean that, because James Conner is doing very well, and I think if Le'Veon Bell was really worried about his value, he consider his health. And I just don't think he's going to be ready for pro football at this point in the year after missing all those reps and all that time. I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate you calling in the Steel City. Yeah, you make some good points. It's hard to imagine him getting up to speed in less than a month. I mean, it's going to take some time. Remember last year when he held out and didn't report until, what was it, like Labor Day weekend? And then the first month of the season was a really slow start. There's a reason why they have training camp in preseason. It's not just because they hate the players. No, it's because you need to get ready. And if his role's going to change even more so, does he need some time, not just to get back into physical shape, but mental shape? Also, something that Charlie said produced this interesting thought in my brain. When Le'Veon Bell is looking at a member of his own team. Now, I'm not saying he is, but the point that Charlie made is that Bell is going to be ticked off because Connor has essentially replaced him. When that becomes the issue, when you're not rooting for a member of your own team to succeed because he's better for your team, then you've got major problems. So if Le'Veon Bell, and again, I'm not saying he is coming back this way, but if he comes back expecting the team to part the waters, and then he's begrudging James Conner for the reps he's getting, for the attention he's getting, for the work he's getting, and for the success he's having, that's putting yourself before the team. Bell should be James Conner's biggest fan. Like, no doubt, James Conner is a huge fan of Le'Veon Bell. But the problem is now they'd be pitted against each other. And Le'Veon's done that. So, yeah, he needs to be all on board with James Conner the way the rest of that offense is. Because Conner has made this transition seamless. But here's where you get the personal, the individual, and the team at odds with one another. My individual goals and the team's goals are now not the same. And that's a problem. That's a problem in any locker room. It's a problem on any roster. And I know because there are times when, as an individual player, this includes me, as a college basketball player, as a person who loves team sports and played on a bunch of them, there are times when you have to take that toot of yours and that pride of yours as not being the number one choice, as not being the person that the play's drawn up for in the huddle, as not being the starter or the this or the that, as not being the man or the woman. You have to take your individual goals and you have to put them on a shelf, because when they clash with the team goals, you're the problem. We all have to do that as athletes. Everybody has to do that. And it can apply to the corporate and business world too. When your goals supersede those of your team or your company's success, you need an attitude check. They can't be at conflict with one another, because then you're tearing down your team. Then you're holding your team back. And I'm sure Bell doesn't want that. But this has created a weird situation, a weird conflict. Whether it's internal and becomes external, I don't know. But I do know that there's no shot that the rest of the team isn't going to be on edge wondering how this is going to work out. And also, in sports, whether you're superstitious or not, you don't mess with a good thing. And right now, the Steelers have a very good thing. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Take our polls. We have a plethora of polls. 855-212-4227. 1 hour to go. We'll get your calls to It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.